Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast presented by Applied Software Gray Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We've recorded this conversation live from the Advancing Prefabrication Show in Denver, Colorado. In this conversation, I sat down with Mike Barrett, Vice President of Technical Innovation and Delivery at CRB, to discuss the latest in prefab trends and much more. Hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, we are recording live from Advancing Prefab. Mike, thanks for taking the time and dropping in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I like to get started with kind of how you got into the construction industry and the prefab journey.
Sure. No, thanks for asking. Well, I'm an engineer by education, that maybe got me interested in like figuring things out, solving problems. I went to NC State for mechanical engineering, and out of school went and joined an operating company to try to improve efficiencies and figure just solve problems, like I said. After that, I started to see a little bit of how the design and construction world started to operate. I was executing projects, trying to deliver capital projects from an owner perspective, and thought to myself, I would love to be part of solving problems in a different capacity, making design and construction better, more efficient. And that sort of drove me into, working for an integrated design and construction company and giving me a platform really to innovate and try to solve problems. And one of the innovations that the certainly industry is starting to adopt is prefabrication, and that started to see benefits with safety and quality and schedule compression and cost certainty. And those are all problems that, as a construction professional, you have to solve every day. And prefabrication is just an enabler to help solve those types of problems.
Nice. What brought you to Advancing Prefab this year?
Well, it is one of the premier events. I came for the first time last year and came as an eager learner to try to soak up as much as possible and make some connections. And I did that, and it was fulfilling. It was, a week long of connecting with like-minded professionals and that are all trying to figure things out together. And that drove me back this year to both come and still try to learn, but also contribute back and give back and tell some of my stories as well.
Yeah, nice. So you mentioned before we got on camera that you won the award last year. So that was your first year and you won the award.
First year I won the award. That's actually probably
that's pretty good.
What drove me to come was I submitted for an award and I was one of the the finalists. And I was I better show up in case I actually do win the award. So it was a little bit like, purpose driven by that award. But so for a few more hours, I can still claim reigning prefab project of the year.
That's awesome. The crown is still firmly on your head right now.
Yeah,
until somebody rips it off tonight.
I'll pass the baton.
Okay.
It's been a fun year of celebrating. We won't stop celebrating. It was a cool project, cool experience. But happy to see the award go to someone else as well.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the project. What all went into it?
Yeah. No, great. So it's a life science project. So a project that is a industrial manufacturing operation. The client was, they had a new cancer therapy they were trying to bring to market. And they came to us with the problem to solve and said, we need to deliver this facility and get this product to the market and, save people's lives as fast as possible. And so that was like a great, trigger point. Like, how do you figure out how to go as fast as possible? And prefabrication and offsite construction was one of the major methods we deployed on that job. And we coined the terminology, we want to maximize prefabrication, or we were asking the team, tell me, why can't we prefabricate this? Because, it was a dense project. The densities were pretty, a lot of tree stacking and things like that. So the more we can bring offsite, the more we can execute construction in parallel, the quicker we'll be able to go. So for that project, it had a large central utilities plant that we were able to modularize and construct that all offsite. It shifted roughly 30,000 man hours of construction labor offsite. And then we kept going through different prefabrication methods with multi-trade rack assemblies, prefabricated wall assemblies. And we just kept going down the list of opportunities and challenging the team, why can't we prefabricate this? And mm-hmm. so that continued to drive up a lot more prefabrication for the project. And we were able to hit the client's target date. And it was rewarding to win the prefabrication award. It was actually more rewarding to, you know, see the product go into patients and, you know, and change people's lives.
Mm-hmm. What was the journey like to really start implementing prefab at a higher clip?
It's a challenge every day to convince someone that's not familiar with it as a type of project delivery method or type of construction execution method. I remember that actually that project within the first few weeks sitting down with the client and trying to explain to them we want to try to maximize prefabrication. And he said, absolutely not, was like the first words out of his mouth, and it was almost, you know, crushed my soul right out of the gate. But luckily, we didn't give up. We just didn't say, all right, we'll just do whatever the client says we're going to do. We, you know, we kept presenting value proposition, showing the value, demonstrating the value. And then we kept, getting new opportunities to prefabricate more and more. And he started to see the value in it. And then he's actually a great advocate for it now as well.
Mm-hmm. Was it a perception of prefab that, wasn't a line there, or what was some of the hurdles?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have different perceptions. His perception specifically was just maybe an education point, just not knowing that it's available. He was executed capital projects for 30 plus years, and all of that had been stick built. So there's ingrained methodology of seeing work being put in place every day, and that's your like way to measure progress. And then when you shift stuff offsite, you don't see that every day, and so you start to lose a sense of control or a sense of progress. And I think that was his hesitation, which led us to we put up job site cameras in the offsite fabrication to like so he could see things every day as well, getting put in place just offsite. So I think we found ways once we were able to, dig into why he was hesitant, then we just found ways to solve those hesitations.
Yeah, I love that. I think having those conversations are so critical, and they're often missed. A lot of people get that first no and shut down, and then they just stop right there, and they don't lean in and try to explore the why behind the what's happening. So
yeah,
I think that's great. How have you guys integrated prefab into the different methodologies of your business?
So at NCRB, we're an integrated AEC company. So we do architecture, we do engineering, and we do construction management. We're not a self-performed contractor, so we don't have fabrication capabilities. So we're completely reliant on a trade partner community or fabrication community to fabricate the things that we design. So we'll be the first to admit that we can't design to fabrication capabilities. Mm-hmm. We have to understand that fabricator, what their means and methods are. And so that drives an integration of, you have to select a fabricator early on in the project as an integrated AEC company. And then that fabricator brings their expertise as part of the team. Mm-hmm. And then we can design to their capabilities, or even use them in a design assist capacity, or even delegate some design to their capabilities. And that's certainly maybe the main way we integrate, is to pick a fabricator's capabilities and then integrate them into the team and use their expertise.
Mm-hmm. So that takes a lot more communication then, and collaboration as well too. How do you guys manage getting all the stakeholders and team members bought into the process and feeling like they're a member of the team?
Yeah, a couple of different ways. I think we use co-location type spaces and co-location events, bring the team together, and you create energy in that team environment. We structure it, if it's an event or a full-time co-location, we structure the days, so that the collaboration can happen in a structured way, and still you can have working times to get work done, but you can have the collaboration times you need as well. So that's one way. Certainly there's technology systems we use, like Autodesk Construction Cloud, which helps you know, bring communication methods together in one platform, one common data language, is another type of technology we use in addition to just relying on people to be in a space together and communicate.
Mm-hmm. So you brought up some of the technology there. How have you seen the technology trends kind of change over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it seems like a very rapidly advancing part of the industry. I think the trends are, certainly is data driven. It seems like that's a big trend, you know, using some type of common data language to bring design data, construction data, fabrication data, procurement data, all into maybe one similar platform, or at least platforms that can communicate. And then, you know, there's emerging things that start to use AI, which we're not quite, as a company, we're not quite exploring that yet, but maybe we're listening to see what's out there.
Yeah. Do you see the technology helping to propel prefab forward?
Certainly in the integrated workflows, it does. Within the design space, integrating maybe an architect or an engineer's design intent directly with fabrication content all in the same model is a way that that has advanced certainly in the past 2 or 3 years a lot more a lot more rapidly. Yeah.
So on the emerging tech side, you brought up AI. Friend or foe? Where do you see AI coming in?
I think right now, maybe I'm personally neutral. I think we're, like I said, we're listening, we're exploring. We certainly see the potential, and so we'd like to think we're on the forefront of the industry as a company, and so I'm sure we will dig in soon to explore it a little bit more.
The industry is struggling with a communication problem and a lack of interoperability. This is causing 25% of data being recreated and almost $300 billion loss due to bad communication. Great Tech Group believes that is a problem. So they created Data Connect, an easy-to-use, no-code platform that connects critical ERP systems with cost management to form a single source of truth to empower better communication, decision-making, and project efficiency, delivering the ultimate business outcome of being on time and on budget. Visit asti.com/dataconnect to start saving time and money.
Yeah.
There's a lot there to explore. More coming every day when it comes to AI, for sure. There's so many different inputs coming into it, which is fun to see just on a tech geek out side. There's a lot there.
That's a good point. I think we do use it for simple things. You ask simple questions and it can help you in your simple workflows, but it's a lot more powerful than that, and so I think that's what we'll start to explore.
Start small and then scale up with anything. What challenges do you see facing the prefab and kind of the modular world in general?
Yeah, I think the challenges are probably similar challenges that they've been the past few years. I think, projects are complex and they're not all repeatable. They're somewhat customizable, the project delivery platform, such as design bid build or some type of design build contract, certainly helps enable different. Different ways you can prefab. The prefab project of the year was a design build environment, so it was a little easier to control and contribute prefabrication earlier, which is certainly what you need. You need those fabrication partners earlier in the project to be able to maximize their potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's certainly an industry problem, that if we can't get fabricators on earlier, you limit the ability to impact the amount of prefabrication you can do. And then on the flip side, you've got to convince architects and engineers to think about means and methods and think about prefabrication versus just maybe spatial purpose or design purpose. So it works both ways.
Mm-hmm. How have you found some of the kind of best practices to get those architects and engineers thinking prefab?
Yeah, there's not a silver bullet for that. So maybe the silver bullet would be the best practice. But I think one of the things that we commonly do within our own company is a lot of education. So internal education, you know, we're bringing prefabrication partners into lunch and learns and helping them see, helping architects and engineers see the capabilities. But then once the architect or engineer experiences it for the first time on a project, you generally get, you know, immediately past that hurdle. And so that's certainly what we're trying to do is introduce, you know, that type of project environment where someone can experience the benefits and then they're on board with it forever.
Is there a way that as an industry we can help to kind of spread the word and to scale it up quicker so that it's not a, you know, one-off experience that something on the education side to try to spread that word faster?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think case studies are demonstrating, you know, actual application is certainly a quicker way to learn than maybe just, you know, the theoretical aspect of it. So I think that's certainly a way the industry can continue to maybe advance quicker is to get those studies or those case studies or those real project examples out there into people's, you know, people's hands so that they can start to understand it.
Yeah. It's a soapbox topic of mine of how do we tell our stories better? I think as an industry, we don't do a great job with that. There's work to do.
Yeah. I love what this conference is doing with the, you know, the awards.
Yeah.
Celebrating success, you know, breeds more success. And I think, you know, maybe that's something else we can learn from is how do we continue to celebrate successes. And granted, maybe there's only one award, Prefab Project of the Year award, but, you know, there's 20 submitted every year. So how do we celebrate all 20, really?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think we have a temptation to really focus in on the, you know, the super big, sexy, multi-billion dollar projects or whatever, but even telling the success stories of the, you know, not necessarily simple in a bad way, but the smaller, simpler day-to-day projects that it, you can get big wins on that side as well too. I think that helps.
No, you're so right there. I mean, telling, celebrating, you know, the wins, but also celebrating, you know, all projects. You know, I think, you know, I told that client example, I think that's actually my greatest win is like not saying no to the client or not saying, yes, we're not going to prefab anything. Just continuing to fight for what you believe in. And I think we can all learn something from that is that, you know, there's ways you can execute projects differently. That's certainly how I'm wired as an innovator. And I think a lot of people in the industry are wired that way, solving problems differently. And prefab is certainly one of those ways to solve problems differently.
Yeah. Where do you see the industry going? What are we going to be talking about at Advancing Prefab in 2030?
Yeah, well, it could be a little bit on the AI side would be my prediction. I think, you know, industrialized construction are creating those, you know, truly integrated end-to-end workflows. We better be talking about that by 2030. if we're talking about the same stuff we're talking about this year in 2030, I'll be disappointed in us all, myself included. So, yeah, there's more forward-thinking innovative workflows. Industrialized construction, you know, productized workflows. I think that's where the industry needs to go to continue to demonstrate value.
For somebody that's wanting to jump in and start really getting their hands dirty with prefab, where would you encourage them to start? Where's the low-hanging fruit there?
I think for me, I'll just tell my personal story. So I think for me, I went to prefabricators. I purposely wanted to go see how prefabrication happened in shops. And so, most prefabricators I know are open to, you know, people coming to their shops and, that'd be where I'd recommend to start, like single out, you know, two or three, four or five, however you need to see different types of prefabrication shops, go to their shops, spend a couple hours in their shops, see how it happens, learn how it happens, That'd be where I suggest start.
Yeah, I love it. It's always so cool going through those shops as well too, and just seeing how everybody, you know, there's obviously similarities, but everybody does it a little bit different. So that's always really fascinating to see.
Yeah, I think the ones that make it more of a manufacturing environment are the really cool ones. Mm-hmm. Certainly prefabrication or, you know, doing normal construction methods offsite is valuable and needed as well. But mm-hmm. the ones that turn it into an assembly line of manufacturing are the certainly on the forefront of where the industry's heading.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're only on day one here, essentially, of advancing prefab. But any takeaways so far from the hours that you've been able to do today?
Yeah. No, good question. It was a panel discussion in the Design Assist track, and I thought they hit on a few key points. They, you know, it was a pretty broad panel with a, you know, general contractor, an architect, an owner, as well as a GC, another GC. But they talked about the need, we talked about it a little bit as well, but they talked about the need for collaboration. Mm-hmm. And how do you create that structure in a project environment, which I thought was a valuable conversation, because many times we try to blow past the people side of projects. Mm-hmm. But they spent a little bit more time in that panel discussion talking about, you know, being intentional about collaborating, being intentional about understanding the person and the people on the team, and building a team culture and building a collaborative culture. And I think that's what I'm excited to hear more about this week. Certainly I heard that a little bit earlier today, and it got me thinking.
Yeah. The people side is, you know, overlook at your own risk with that. That's a huge category that we have to take into account and think through. How do we build the culture that we want in order to embrace this kind of innovative mindset and it's okay to fail mentality, learn from that and move on quick. That's huge to really take time to think through and then invest in bringing people together and having those moments of connectivity.
Certainly been the intentionality for myself is, you know, combining the people and process technology. Really three things that I talk to teams about is it's a trifecta, or it's a three-legged stool. If one of those three are gone, you're not going to be successful. So mm-hmm. got to have all three present to drive success.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we start to land the plane here, a couple kind of rapid fire questions for you. Yeah. What is modeling the future? What does that look like to you?
You said modeling the future?
Modeling the future.
Like physically, like modeling the future physically, or
however you take that.
My mind went physically, but I think what does it look like to me? I would say it's about the project delivery environment. Like, how do we model the project delivery ecosystem? Mm-hmm. And that's what I would want to spend a little bit more time modeling that future. What is the future of the project delivery environment? The whole entire ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What does innovation mean to you?
It means not afraid to fail.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like it. How do people find out more information and connect with you?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on social media. I certainly have email address, phone number, and I would love to connect. I'm passionate about the industry. I'm passionate about the entire industry. If I can help someone move their own needle or move along their own journey, I'm interested in doing that.
Yeah, awesome. Well, final question for you. If I could give you all construction power, you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing, what would you pick to innovate?
I think I would innovate the decision-making process. As an integrated AEC company, I find most of our projects move at the speed of decisions. Mm. And as I mentioned, you know, a lot of the life science work we do are, you know, patient or product driven. And so speed to market and saving lives is at the forefront of every project we do. Mm-hmm. And the decision making runs the pace of the project. So if mm-hmm. I can innovate through the decision making process, and have it faster, more reliable, more repeatable, you know, preventing decisions being changed or causing rework. Mm-hmm. That's where I would want to innovate.
Yeah. Awesome. I like it. Thanks so much for taking the time and joining the show. And now it's time for my Todd takes from this episode. First take. The shift towards prefabrication has been driven by the need to solve inefficiencies within the construction industry. This move is part of a broader trend towards seeking more effective, streamlined processes that enhance overall project delivery and outcomes. Second take. Prefabrication stands out for delivering strategic benefits, including enhanced safety, improved quality, reduced project timelines, and greater cost certainty. These advantages position prefabrication as a key driver in transforming construction practices and achieving more predictable, reliable project outcomes. And finally, initial resistance to prefabrication often stems from a lack of familiarity with its benefits. Looking ahead, the integration of advanced technologies like AI and more cohesive workflows in prefab processes is essential for propelling the construction industry forward, with the potential for a more industrialized construction approach by 2030. Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyant, edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Great Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Great Tech Group 2024. This is BTG Mike Barrett intro and takes take one. Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast presented by Applied Software Great Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We recorded this conversation live from the Advancing Prefabrication Show in Denver, Colorado. In this conversation, I sat down with Mike Barrett. I don't have his company. We're going to stop and pause for a second. Okay, take two. Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast, presented by Applied Software Gray Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We've recorded this conversation live from the Advancing Prefabrication Show in Denver, Colorado. In this conversation, I sat down with Mike Barrett, Vice President of Technical Innovation and Delivery at CRB, to discuss the latest in prefab trends and much more. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Now it's Todd Takes, take one. And now it's time for my Todd Takes from this episode. First take, the shift towards prefabrication has been driven by the need to solve inefficiencies within the construction industry. This move is part of a broader trend towards seeking more effective, streamlined processes that enhance overall project delivery and outcomes. Second take, prefabrication stands out for delivering strategic benefits, including enhanced safety, improved quality, reduced project timelines, and greater cost certainty. These advantages position prefabrication as a key driver in transforming construction practices and achieving more predictable, reliable project outcomes. And finally, initial resistance to prefabrication often stems from a lack of familiarity with its benefits. Looking ahead, the integration of advanced technologies like AI and more cohesive workflows in prefab processes is essential for propelling the construction industry forward, with the potential for a more industrialized construction approach by 2030.